In my work, one of the privileges I have is an opportunity to spend time with families during the toughest parts of life, in hospitals, at times of loss and grief. And as I sit particularly with folks dealing with grief, dealing with sadness, dealing with loss, the emotions are often real and raw and painful. And as I talk with families, I many times acknowledge that when we feel grief, that grief grows from the fact that we have loved a person that we've lost, the fact that we are looking at a beloved family member struggling, that grief is in every way an expression of love. And it's a sense of loss and a pain that comes in knowing things aren't the way we wish them to be. That grief wishes to bring things back to what we liked better, what we knew, and yet we deal with loss, and our love shows up in grief. In our reading in Luke 13, we see Jesus acknowledging the deep emotions of his heart. Love showing up in grief, lament, anguish over those who have chosen not to follow him. Now, to understand the context of this, we need to realize Jesus is on his way toward Jerusalem. In Luke 9, we have the scene that where Jesus asks, "Who do people say that I am?" and get some different answers. And he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he begins to talk about how he's going to be persecuted and killed. And at the end of that chapter, Luke tells us, as the time approached for him to be taken up into heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Now, he's not taking the shortest route. He's not going directly. He's going through different towns. He's continuing to do ministry. But in this latter part of Luke's gospel, Jesus has his mind filled with the reality that he's on his way to the cross. He's going to do what God sent him to do. And so there's a sense of urgency in his voice as he's talking about the need to follow him. There's an urgency as he's calling for people to follow, to listen, to heed his call, to respond appropriately. And in the midst of these journeys, these trips on the way toward Jerusalem, somebody comes to Jesus and asks him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" It's a reasonable theological question, probably the kind of question asked to religious leaders. But Jesus chooses not to get caught up in a theological discussion of how many other folks are going to fit in. He turns the question back on the one asking. He turns the question back on those who are listening and challenges them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." He doesn't want to discuss everybody else. He looks at those standing before him and says, "You've got to decide what you're going to do." And he challenges those who are listening to make every effort to follow the path that Jesus is laying out before them. Now, the word translated "make every effort" really is a word that comes from the arena of athletics or battle. It describes the effort of a successful athlete giving everything they have to reach the goal line, the finish line. If you're watching a race in track and field and you see athletes approaching the finish line and there are a couple of athletes coming close together, all striving for that gold medal, you can see on their face the effort that refuses to let up at all, giving everything they can to try to be the first one to the finish line. And Jesus is looking at those people. He's, through Scripture, communicating to us, that He calls us to be that devoted, that committed, that wholehearted in our commitment to seek after Jesus, to follow Him as a disciple, to do what He calls us to do. The door is narrow, He tells us, and many will not be able to enter it. And so He's trying to encourage people to make a choice. And it fits with the message we find over and over again in the Gospels. When Jesus talks about being a disciple, a follower, He talks about we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow. In Luke 14, He'll respond to folks by telling them basically, if you love father, mother, husband, wife, child more than Me, you're not qualified to be a disciple. There are hard statements made in Scripture that tell us that the gospel is challenging, that the expectations are high, that Jesus calls us to make a choice with wholeheartedness, that faith is not something we just add on to the edge of our busy lives, that commitment and being Christ-like doesn't come from giving God a little bit of who we are while we keep control of the rest of it. He calls those who are listening to make every effort to enter the narrow door. He wants more than our casual interest. He wants to be more than an acquaintance. He wants wholehearted commitment. And this is one of those passages in the Gospels that's not warm and fuzzy, that doesn't send us home thinking, wow, God loves me and takes care of me. Because ultimately, even as He communicates His love, there is an expectation that we respond by giving all that we are and all that we have back to Him. That we recognize that anything in our lives that blocks us from giving our all to God needs to be dealt with and opened up before Him. That He wants us to make every effort to enter the narrow door of faithfulness, to give our lives to Him. God's desire is that no one miss out on the opportunity to enter His kingdom. And even as He calls for folks to make every effort, He acknowledges that some will be left out. And to a group of Jews who were listening to Him that thought, we're the special class, we're the ones who were chosen, He says, watch out, there will be folks from east and west and the folks you think of as outsiders who are going to be invited into the kingdom table. And some of you who've had the chance but haven't taken it may miss out. And so He's calling us to look in ourselves, to acknowledge that we've got a commitment to make, a choice to make about whether we are giving our lives wholeheartedly to Christ. But even as He does so, even as He acknowledges that the call to follow Christ is a costly one, inviting us to sacrifice whatever may block us from faithfulness, He also acknowledges that His great love for us, His desire for us is such that what He wants from us is a choice to be faithful. Someone comes and tells Him that Herod's there looking for Him to kill Him. And Jesus' response grows out of the understanding that Herod doesn't have power over Him. He understands, Jesus does, that He's going to the cross, but it's going to be God's timing and not Herod's. He's here not to become a victim to the political powers, but to give His life for humanity. And so He knows that Herod's not the threat. He's got a calling to give His life, to show us what love looks like by holding nothing back, giving His life on a cross. And as He looks out upon the people, He sees Jerusalem. He remembers the times God's people have rejected the prophets and killed God's messengers. We see a glimpse into the heartbeat of Jesus. For He looks out over the city, this people that He loves with all of his heart. And he uses this image of a mother hen gathering her chicks to protect them. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. What emotion do you hear in that statement? Do you hear the broken heart of Jesus Christ? We get glimpses of the emotions of Jesus in a number of places in the Gospels. His anger when he clears the temple. We're told a number of times that he looks on someone having a problem with compassion. And here, I think we get a glimpse into Jesus with a broken heart. He has come to show God's love. He has come to invite people into relationship. And he recognizes that many are refusing to accept the gift of grace. And despite repeated rejection, despite those who have failed to heed God's call before, the desire of God, the heartbeat of Christ, is one that just wants to gather everybody together. Protect them, hold them tight, make his love visible. As I mentioned to the kids, there are a lot of images we use to describe God. But this image of a mother hen is a powerful one. It's one we see in Psalm 91 where we're told God will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield. Imagine those moments when you were growing up where you were scared. And if you were one of those kids like me who went and found your way into mama and daddy's bed and you snuggled down between them on a scary night with a storm and suddenly there's this hand on you and you think, I feel safe. That's God's heart for us, to find ourselves in that kind of relationship. And yet, even as he hungers for people to follow him, to be drawn into him, he acknowledges that they won't all respond. In verse 35, look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He looks out upon them and like a mother hen wants to gather her chicks together. But at the end of verse 34, we find these painful words, you were not willing. Many of us don't think all that much about how our choices can bring heartbreak to the heart of God. We know what heartbreak feels like, don't we? Most of us, all of us, at some point have had our heart broken by someone we thought loved us and then didn't. By someone we wanted to be there for us and wasn't. Someone we lost. We understand heartbreak and how it feels. Not long ago, Lee and I were back in Drexel where I had been pastor, and we were sitting at a meal after a funeral I'd had a part of and was talking to a woman from that church, and I was checking on her kids and I said, how's, and called the name of her second child, her son. And she just said, kind of waved us off. And a little bit later she came and she said, I didn't mean to be short with you earlier, but he's my child struggling with addiction and abuse. And my heart breaks. And you could see it on her face as she talked about how he'd lost a career and a licensing because of his problems. And how at times he'd reached out and she'd wanted to help, and then he'd fallen back into trouble. And you could see on her face what heartbreak felt like when your child is choosing destruction and failure over grace and opportunity. And Jesus says, I long to gather you together like a hen gathers her chicks, but you weren't willing. And we see the heartbreak, the vulnerability of Jesus Christ. His heart hurting for those who missed the chance to know the love of God. It's a vulnerable picture of God. In our world, we tend not to celebrate vulnerability. You may have noticed political campaigns are going on. And as you listen to candidates on both sides, each candidate is trying to give the impression of strength and power and no weakness. And in debates, when there's an opportunity to pounce on weakness, folks pounce. Because there's a need to show we're strong, we're not weak, we don't fall apart. And yet here is the ultimate leader. God Himself came into the world and acknowledged the vulnerability of a broken heart for people who were missing the good news. On His journey to the cross, knowing that He had come to give His life for us, knowing that He was on His way to die that we might have life, we get a glimpse into His heart. And His heart breaks when His children don't listen, don't obey, don't follow. We understand what heartbreak feels like, but do we recognize that our wrong choices, our selfishness, our resistance to God's call can bring heartbreak into the very one who created us and loves us? Can you feel the pain of the statement? How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And when we choose our way over God's way, there are consequences. He says in the verse that follows, your house is left to you desolate. Jesus basically is saying, when you choose your way over my way, I'm going to let you live with your choices. When you walk away from me, I'm going to let you. Of course, we also know that He never quits seeking us, hoping that we'll come home. In a couple weeks, we'll look at the parable of the prodigal son and we'll be reminded that God, even as He lets the prodigal walk away, always is looking, hoping, waiting for us to come to our senses and come home. Even amidst the sadness inherent in this picture of Jesus, we're reminded that this grief comes out of love. God, who loves us and wants to draw us close, who wants to wrap motherly wings around us to protect us, who wants to live in relationship with us, and always hungers for us to recognize our failures and come home. Where are you in your relationship with God at this point? Are you pulling away? Have you pulled away? Are you caught in struggle that leaves Jesus looking out with heartbroken? Is it time for you to sense the deep love of God and come home? To recognize our failure and acknowledge our need for grace? How often, Jesus says, I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Are we willing? Will you pray with me? For love that goes beyond our expectation and worthiness, God, we give you thanks. Thank you for patience. for mercy and for a commitment to always wait with arms open. Thank you for your love. Help us to let go of that which holds us back and let ourselves be gathered under your wing today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.